Good morning.
Good.
Welcome to worship this morning. So Wednesday night we had sound issues, to have video issues. It could be related that I have somehow messed up while fixing the sound. We will take this and see if I'm guilty. Of course my wife's going to say I'm guilty. And you are mic'd up currently right now, so you have to be careful what you say as well. Thank you, Pastor George and Leslie, for serving this church. We appreciate everything you've done, and thank you for being here today. So a few announcements, and then I'll bring up Nita for a call committee. Congratulations to Jacqueline and Dane Hazelbring on their Waylon. John Hazelbring was born, I think, on 4/23 at night. He came in weighing at. Woo-hoo. And so congrats to you there. But anyway, congrats to them. Pastor Scott did our next Saturday, the discipleship, and that 30 to 12:30. So if anybody wants to go, I just kind of have to have an idea of the number for the lunch. The cost is $20. That just covers the materials there. And it's a person from, it's cadremissionaries.com if you want more information on that. But it's, if I would compare it to more like our prayer walks that we did, so where you can reach out to people on discipleship. So that's what that's based on. So if you want to check that out first, you can. If you want to go, just let me know so I can at least tell him how many are coming for lunch. So again, that's next Saturday, and that's from 8:30 to 12:30. I believe that's all the announcements that I have. I'll bring up Nita for a call committee update.
Good morning. I know that most of you know that one of my most precious gifts is the gift of gab, but when it comes to this microphone, I get a little nervous about that. But I did agree to come up and try to give you a little rundown of what the call committee has been up to. As we were reminded again this morning in Sunday school, there are four interns graduating from the AFLC seminary. And a lot more openings than that available. But this past weekend, we hosted Scott Pearson, who is interning at Fargo, North Dakota, the frozen tundra, I think. And he arrived Friday evening here, and Warren greeted him, and he toured the church facility, and Leslie and Pastor George graciously allowed him to tour the parsonage, and then he came to my house, and those of you that know me, you know, also know what my cooking talents are, so I have no idea how I got the job of hosting and cooking supper that night, but that's what happened, and so I hope that didn't sway him in any way after the supper I served him. But on Saturday morning, the entire congregation study and our Sunday school, so it's all sort of working hand in hand and meeting, you know, contact people and We have a lot of prayers being said for us, and so I think that that is encouraging. I will say that Scott seems well prepared, ready to enter the ministry. It's very evident that, well, Scott stopped here on the way to Metropolis, actually. And I think Metropolis has been without a pastor for nearly 2 years. So he had scheduled, I think, five congregations to visit, and he just did not feel like there was another Sunday that he could visit, and do a service without shortchanging his internship. So he couldn't really commit to that, but we felt like it was a good thing for us to visit with him and to talk with him. And it became pretty evident at the end of the conversation that while he saw a lot of strength in our congregation, and I really felt those are the things that encouraged me, he was really impressed with our ministries, the sleep in heavenly peace, the grief share. He really, really spoke about those things and thought those were good things. He saw the closet full of blankets from the WMF, and he spoke that was, he could see good things happening here, and he was very impressed with the parsonage. But he also feels like if a call is, they cannot accept calls until after March 1st. And if a call would be issued, he has a desire and a feeling that he should stay closer to the Twin Cities, which is not that unusual. But like I said, I felt encouraged after his visit, and, he pointed out strengths of our congregation and some of the good things we were doing, and it felt good to be, have an outside person observe those things and encourage us in those things. Our next plan is to invite Joe Freck to come, and he's an intern also, and we have some knowledge of Joe because the WMF has been sending a love offering to Joe monthly for over a year, long before Pastor Steve ever left. So God works in mysterious ways. We're not sure exactly where that's going to go, but we're planning right now for March 26th to be the day when Joe comes and visits with his wife and gives the message that day. So thank you for all of your prayers. I've been, there's a real learning curve here. I've learned a lot about the AFLC and the process, the call process, and I just thank you for all of your encouragement and your prayers. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's great to be here and be in the Lord's house today, and the wonderful news. It's just so much to celebrate as we even hear of new life and new birth. One of the harder realities is if there is not crying in the divine service, then the church is dying. And we heard this morning that the Lord is blessing with a new life and a continuation of that, and we want to give God praise and glory for that, and especially for Dane and his family. We're so thankful to hear of such great news. I saw him the last couple days, and he said it was coming, he thought. And so his wife was spot on with that analogy there, as he said. So we begin our day, and I just can't help but to think of the wonderful passages. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we open our service today with our call to worship from Psalm 32. Let's read responsively from our hymnal that is on page 123, Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute his iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no
I kept silent about my sin. My bones wasted away, though my groaning all day long. I acknowledged my sin to thee and my iniquity, and I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou didst forgive the guilt of my sin. Thou art my hiding place. Thou dost preserve me from trouble. Thou dost surround me with song of deliverance. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. And all together, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. We open our service now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you and give you praise that, Lord, you are a God of goodness. You are a God of grace. Lord, you are a God of provisions. And so, Lord, we just want to lift up to you now the continued work of the call committee. And Lord, we just even want to lift up all of the AFLC and that we would pray that, Lord, while we know there is much need and we would even say the harvest is ready, that, Lord, we would pray that you would put it on the hearts of men to go into the ministry, to be trained up and to be shepherds of congregations this day. And so, Lord, we would just lay that before you. We know that you hear and that you move constantly and are always working on the hearts of many. And so, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for our time together. We ask that you be present with us, that you would open our ears and our hearts to hear from you this day, all that you have for us in our time of fellowship and our time of worship and praise to you. We give you all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn, What Wondrous Love Is This, hymn 72.
Oh,
May you join with me in our hymnal to page 49. Going to use the confession of sin of number 9, and let us join together. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to ask for your forgiveness. We have sinned against you and against ourselves and need your cleansing. We do is right, but have not been able to keep our way pure. We know that deeds heart. We need your tender touch, your cleansing grace to help us to stand in your presence again. Thank you for your forgiveness and your mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Only Son, Jesus, to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become sons of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, to us all. Amen. Our scripture reading today by Craig.
Old Testament lesson is in Genesis 3, 1 through 21. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them. The New Testament lesson is in Romans 5, 12 through 19. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Here ends the reading.
Our gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew chapter 4, reading verses 1 through 11. That is, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Reading in Jesus' name. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord God to the test." And again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Here ends our gospel reading for today. Join with me and with all of our brothers and sisters around the world in confessing our faith, and found on page 4 of our hymnal and the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Our hymn is Hallelujah, What a Savior, hymn 84. Well, today, our first Sunday in Lent, my sermon text is from Romans 5, and I'm going to back up just a little bit as I would like to begin from the beginning of chapter 5, verses 1 through 19 is the sermon text. And the title is Vicariousness of Adam and of Jesus. So reading in Jesus' name. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. But God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one would sacredly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. But the free gift is not like the trespasses, for if many died, one man's trust, much have the grace of God, and the free by the grace of the one man, Christ, found many. Father God, these are your words, and we know your truth. And so we praise you for your truth. We ask, sanctify us truth here and now, and that, Lord, all that I be glorified you and please you and uplifting and always. In Jesus' name I pray. One thing I'm thankful for is I prepare throughout the times of preaching that I'm thankful to God that as I followed what we call the lectionary of the church year, which gives us our text each week, I use those for preaching. And I'm often amazed and also thankful that God's timing seems to always be spot on. Here we come to our first week of Lent, in our Lenten journey together, and we have Romans chapter 5. See, Romans chapter 5 has been called by many theologians over the years the greatest chapter of the Bible. And many of those same theologians and other theologians would even go as far as to say that chapter 5 of Romans is the most powerful chapter of all the Bible. And yeah, I would agree with that. But even if we could argue that this is the most powerful chapter, what we cannot argue is that it is simply the most definitive of all chapters. See, it lays out the details of the fall of all mankind, and then it also lays out all the details of the restoration of all mankind. And so Paul, in chapter 5, deals with two aspects of the vicariousness of sin by Adam and how that applies to you and I. And then it also deals with the vicariousness of righteousness by Jesus Christ. The word vicarious applies over and over throughout this chapter. And it is important for us to understand this concept of vicariously by Adam into the fall, all of us went, and vicariously by Jesus to righteousness we all obtain. See, vicariously, according to the Webster Dictionary, means this: experienced or performed or watched or suffered by one person as a substitute for another person, to benefit or to the advantage of another person. In other words, a substitution. See, part of me, I thought of this and I couldn't help but to think that I love my wife's lasagna, but it doesn't like me at all due to an allergy. And she makes this, the whole house starts to smell of these wonderful aromas and incredible salt as the sauce and spices fill the air. And for a long time, she graciously would only make it when I would be away or out of town for her and my daughters. But then, just because they were being nice and didn't want to eat it in front of me, that was nice of them, I agree. But it also, I wanted them to be able to enjoy it. And so as I would eat my grilled cheese, they would eat this lovely, delicious smelling lasagna. And simply what that means is that I got to live vicariously through each of them while they got to eat it. See, because I got to smell it. I got to see them enjoy it. And therefore, even though I didn't eat it, I was able to enjoy it with them vicariously. See, if you ask your average Christian about the understanding of substitutionary death of Jesus, most all Christians would agree and say, yes, that is to be understood as Jesus went to the cross in our place and he died for you and I and for our sins. Yes, but I also encourage people that Jesus didn't only die for your sins. He also lived. And Jesus, we would proclaim today that he is not dead, he is alive. And he is alive at the right hand of God the Father, where he is making intercessions for you and I every day. And so we should always live our lives with such victory, because Jesus Christ is the victor over sin, death, and the evil one. Maybe we all could say amen to that, right? But if a person takes this reading of chapter 5 and studies it, I would tell you that it will produce a life-changing perspective. This chapter has revolutionized many people's walk with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm also to tell you that this chapter, chapter 5, has started many revivals throughout history. And Paul begins this chapter with a simple word of therefore, which means, simply enough, when we see therefore in Scripture, it means everything that I have said to you. And so therefore matters for you and I to pay attention. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it is through Jesus that we have obtained this access. We have obtained what I would even call a VIP pass into faith of grace, in which we stand and we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God alone. And I often look at text and I want to find pieces of it that just continue to pop out. And one of the kickers of this text is much more, Paul repeats. And I spoke with someone recently about heaven at a funeral. And yes, that is a great thing to talk about, because it is truly the culmination of our faith. And yet there is so much more than just that. Paul even says there is so much more here in our text over and over. Really, who needs more than to know that we have got eternity in heaven? And yet Paul says that's not all. He says while you were weak, while we were still sinners, sinful man, sinful woman, at the very perfect right time, Christ died for the ungodly, it tells us. I often think that's amazing, because that means that you and I, by the sweat of his brow, we get to come and eat of the fruits of what Jesus produced by going to the cross for you and I. He covers our nakedness, as we heard in the garden of Adam and Eve. He covers us not just with fig leaves and cloth, but he covers us with righteousness, it tells us. Much more do we have by being saved in Jesus Christ, not only to live in eternity, but we are spared from his wrath and eternal hell. See, often I think we get confused that preaching to get someone to convert, to go to heaven, is easy, really. Because simply enough, it is about believing in our heart in Jesus Christ. And it is right before us in Scripture over and over. And I will never discount that it is always 100% the work of the Holy Spirit that draws someone to faith. But faith comes by what? By hearing. Thus, we live our lives in victory because we have heard of the victory of Jesus Christ. And we have that victory as our own. We can share it with others each day. We can share about the peace and the rejoicing that comes from living in a victoriously life vicariously through Jesus Christ. Not in future, but now. And it makes a difference, I tell you. It always makes a difference in your life how it is seen by others. To walk in victory every day is to have a joy and a peace in our hearts that shine a light to Jesus Christ. Have you ever maybe talk to a Christian who walks in defeat? Hey, brother, how you doing today?
Well, you know, I've had better days.
We've all had better days, right? I'm not saying that we won't have those rough days. But what I'm saying to you is that we all can't come to church each and every week with smiles on our faces, because there happens to be arguing before coming to church.
Maybe it's a child in the back seat throwing up. Maybe it is all kinds of other stuff that hit you on your way to church. And honestly, we're not going to smile during those times. It's understandable. But the fact is, many Christians today live their lives in a way that is defeated. They live in a way that they just don't see the joy and the glory of Jesus. And why is that? It's because secretly inside of them, they do not realize all that Jesus has done and all that he is doing alive at the right hand of the Father. Many don't simply come and humble themselves to confess their sins. Many do not seek out their brothers and sisters to say, "Pray for me so I may overcome being defeated by this or that." That's why Paul wrote chapter 5. He wants us to see that Jesus has done it all. And if you get this chapter today, I'm telling you, you will never walk in defeat, never again. I'm saying that you will not have, I'm not saying you will not have trials and tribulations in this life, because you shall, the Bible tells us. But you will not walk in defeat. You will walk in victory. And why is that? Why are we able to walk that way? Because your foe, my foe, the evil one, has been defeated. Jesus took care of that evil guy, and he's bound him. And therefore, this says in our text that you and I are justified. That's how Paul begins. He encourages us that we have peace with God because of Jesus. Friends, you and I live vicariously through all that Jesus has done and all that he is doing. The first verse of chapter 5, it says justified. Remember when you hear that word, just as if I had never sinned. That's what it means, and it brings you the peace of God. We can experience it now as we live each day vicariously through Jesus, by faith alone. I always like to say faith plus nothing, because we don't need anything else. 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, but entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. You and I should love that verse. At one with Jesus, or God. At peace with God, the creator of all things. In verse 2, by whom do we have this? It is by Jesus. Also, we have gained access into faith, into this grace where we stand, it says. Stand rejoicing, stand hoping in the glory of God and victory. Not only are we justified, not only do we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, but Paul says we have access into grace in which we stand. See, grace, the acronym for that is God's riches at Christ's expense. See, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, we grow from infants in Christ into mature Christians. We grow in our knowledge of God, and one of the greatest things we grow in our knowledge of is God's promises. God's word reveals more and more to us about God's grace. The next few verses tells us that we can glory, that we can make it through tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope does not put us to shame because of the love of God by the Holy Ghost who has been given to us. Paul says we can glory in our trials and our tribulations. How in the world is that possible? I've even asked that over the years at times. But I have learned something in a part of the growing and maturing process that I have learned that I can glory in all of those times because God himself allows them. Because God, in every time he puts me in those situations, it is a time that I can wait on him. It is every time, and I have been through a few tribulations in my lifetime. It's been an opportunity for God to manifest himself to me. It is a time for me to grow on my dependence of the Savior who always answers. And I've come to understand that this is a learning experience into which we trust God more and more. You learn that when there is pressure, when there are problems in your life, we learn to wait on the Lord, right? We wait on the Lord to answer. We wait on the Lord to provide. And we are satisfied because we come to know that He is faithful and His promises that He will never leave you in that situation. Amen? Amen? He will minister to you in every trial and in every trouble. It is not easy to go through troubled times. And yet the text says it produces patience. With a lack of patience, we miss the Lord working in our lives, in our church, and in our community. I've, like you, have experienced many of these times, and they do seem at times to drag on, and yet God is faithful. Paul in Romans 8:28 says, all things work to the good of those who love him. By us knowing this truth, we have confidence that he will always show up. He will always do what is in his best interest for you. And another way of God to work hope and grace in our lives, and then by doing so, we will never be put to shame, friends. Verse 6, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I think it's interesting here that this verse does not say that he died for the good, died for the cute. He did not die for the sweet and adorable, or because we deserve it. He died for the ungodly. And the truth is, all of us sitting here and at home qualify, friends. How many have you heard the worldly mindset that says, take what you deserve? If we get what we deserve, I often chuckle at this because I can't help but to think on Judgment Day, nobody is going to be calling for justice. Nobody is going to be saying, give me what I deserve. Yet all will be simply crying out for mercy. And God, our Savior, the one we believe in, who gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, gives mercy and grace. Let me ask you, when did God love you? When did God Himself begin to love you? Was it when you raised your hand and received Him? Was it when you maybe came forward at a prayer meeting or you prayed some sort of prayer that you love him and believe in him? I tell you, no. God has loved each and every one of you from the foundations of the world. Jesus was crucified at the foundation of the world, and God loved you from that very beginning when he created it. Much more is God's love for you and I. How much more could there be, maybe we ask, than to stand before God the Creator, justified and sanctified and saved from wrath? And yet verse 10 says, for while we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, it tells us, now that we were reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. Much more by His life. Jesus came to fulfill the whole law. I asked the confirmation guys the other night, the two young gentlemen that were in confirmation Wednesday, so what law did he come to fulfill? And they said the Ten Commandments. And I told them, yes, but you're wrong. Jesus came to fulfill all 613 laws that were given. Not all Ten Commandments, but all 613. And yes, there are 613 laws. You can count them if you'd like. Reconciling all of that to himself. Much more did Jesus do for you and I. In John, Jesus says, did I not say to you in the law? That's a powerful little statement because it tells us that Jesus is the author of the whole law that is given in Scripture because he is the Word, because he is God. In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We often don't connect that connection, do we? We often read passages in the scripture where Jesus knelt down and he took his finger and he scribbled in the sand when the woman accused of adultery was being addressed. That same finger that scribbled on that sand is the same finger that wrote the Ten Commandments. That is the same finger of the Word. The same finger that reigns to all eternity for you and I. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord that we have now received atonement. I want you to take into a little mental note here that every time you see the word or hear the word atonement, think of at-one-ment, made at one with God and Jesus Christ. I think that's wonderful, isn't it? That you and I, sinners, are made one with the God, the Creator, and His Son, Jesus. He is the one who fulfilled the law. He is the one who fulfilled the sacrifice. He fulfilled everything for us. And He lived vicariously for us. He died vicariously for you and I. He rose from the dead and in triumph. And that's why Paul can honestly say that if God be for me, who can be against me? God has done it all for you and I, friends. And Jesus is the author and perfecter of our lives. And we can turn now to verse 12, where the author tells us the truth about who we are and how we and our inheritance work from Adam. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because of sin. That is a vicarious nature. One man, Adam's sin, death passed on to all of us, and you are born a sinner. Most people think that they are good people who sin, but that's not the case. You're a sinner, and therefore you sin. And I've asked and heard many people say things like, I've always been a Christian. I've always been a Christian. No, you've always been a sinner in need of a Savior. And by God's grace, He reached you at the right time in your lives. In verse 13, for indeed was in the world before the law was given. Sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned in Adam, from Adam to Moses. Even more so, those who sinned were not like the transgressions of Adam. See, Adam is a type of Jesus Christ, in that Adam had total disobedience to God, and Christ had total obedience to God. And the effects of Adam reign even before the law of the Ten Commandments was given. Sin has always had its problems. It always will have an effect on people and in communities and churches. Death came from sin before the law, and yet in the law, it makes it known to us in the will of God and this commands to all sinners to repent. Jesus vicariously took your sins, the ones in the past, your present sins, and all the sins of your future away. For some people, they take it that now, because of Jesus did this, they can live in sin and abound in it. But no, that's not the case. Unless you like pain and suffering, sin has its own eternal effects, but they are also temporal ones too. 15 and 16, but the free gift is not like the trespasses, for if many died through one man's trespasses, much more have the grace of God. Much more have they received the abundance and grace in Jesus, in His Word. Therefore, everything is said, everything is accomplished by Jesus. Made sinners vicariously by Adam, even though we did not do it. But we are justified vicariously through Jesus, who did do it, because we couldn't. We are born sinners with a blood disease, Scripture tells us. We need a transfusion. And it's important to understand, by one man's disobedience, all became sinners. And how many of you, maybe a show of hands, how many of you asked to be a sinner? None of us, right? It's by inheritance. And an inheritance that you and I cannot get out of unless there's Jesus Christ. And yet in the same way, one man's total obedience, we are made righteous vicariously by Christ, the sinless one. In the garden, the devil said to Eve, "Take, eat of it. You surely shall not die." A lie. For as we know, the one truth that comes from that scripture is that at that very time, all things negative came into the world. At that very moment that they ate of the forbidden fruit. And yet God made a way. God made a way that through our inherited sin, we may overcome it and have an inheritance of righteousness. Verse 17, "For if because of one man's trespasses, death reigned through that man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus." God's grace abounds to all who believe. Adam screwed it all up for us, friends. But God knew it, and he made a plan to make it right. For all who believe in Jesus Christ, we have the promise that grace abounds and abounds so much more than our sins. Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished." Not just his earthly life was finished, but he finished that curse of the sin debt, and he paid it in full. All of God's wrath, all of God's judgment was taken care of by Jesus and his obedience. We live in that at-one-ment with God because of Jesus. All those people who live in bondage to death through trespasses of the first Adam, all the more have the grace of God and the free gift of the one man, Jesus, abounding for many. His righteousness, his obedience leads to justification and life eternal for all men and women. We are the benefactors of his mercy and of his grace. We live vicariously in Jesus Christ. May our hearts be full of gratefulness every day, living in victory and not defeat. May our lives be lived to the fullest, knowing we have peace with God. And Jesus has opened up heaven's door. And may our focus of this season be on Jesus as we travel through the Lenten season, focusing on all that he has done, and that we simply repent and receive grace much, much more. Amen? Amen. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds now in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we will have our offering, or actually a hymn, "Greater Grace Greater Than Our Sin," fitting hymn 522.
Now at this time, we will take up our offering. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this day for breath, life, and health. Lord, we thank you for all things that you give us through material possessions. We ask now as we give back a portion of those gifts that by your marvelous works you would multiply them for your kingdom's work here and now through this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may... I can't remember. Let us go to prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks today that, Lord, you are a God of grace. You are a God of goodness. And, Lord, you hear our prayers. You hear the ones we lift up to you, and you also hear all of those that are heavy on our hearts that we lift to you in silence. And so today we give thanks and want to lift up the shut-ins, Juanita and Joan. And also we think of those that are in need of healing, Gordon, Rick, Logan, Carter, Linda, Albert, Tim, Randy, Norm, Wendell, Danielle, Dennis, Robert, Diane, Randy, Gunner, Casey, Michael, Ty, Blake, and Delbert. And also, Lord, we think of those beautiful little ones, Willa, Lane, Kennedy, Elena, Madeline, and Joanna. And we think of the newest of the congregation today. We give thanks and praise for your goodness there. We pray for the church council, Tracy, Dane, Craig, Corey, and Stuart, that, Lord, you continue to guide these men. You continue to uphold them in a way that they may honor you in their service to the congregation. We pray for the call committee, Warren, Nita, Amy, Cole, Carol, and Stuart. Lord, as you have called them to do, fill these positions, that they may continue to grow and learn of you. And, Lord, that we know that you are a great provider of all things. And Lord, we continue to lift up that you would continue to raise up those to be in the ministry at this time. We pray for our nation. Lord, we know our nation is hurting in so many ways. We pray that our leaders would be humbled, come to repentance before you, and so therefore turn from evil and govern us in a way that honors you first and to our good interest. We pray for all of the leaders around the world for a peace that could come about in you, Jesus.
We also thank you and praise you for the local first responders, the police, men and women who see sin firsthand, that you would encourage them, bring them home safe, and that you would help their families as they are out on duty. We think of the military men and women and their families as they are apart from their families so often. And Lord, we would ask that you would provide for their needs, that you would protect them and keep them safe. Lord, we think of so many things around our world that are happening and tragedies and areas. And Lord, we would pray for your mighty hand of protection. We would pray for your mighty hand to be lifted up and that you would encourage many through trials and the tribulations we see, that they would come to know to trust in you for victory here and now. We pray your blessing upon this wonderful congregation of St. John's, that, Lord, you continue to have your blessings and your leading and your guiding by your word and by your Son, Jesus Christ, alone. We give that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. May you join with me in the praying our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you receive the benediction today. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory, with great joy to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, and dominion, and all authority before all times, now and forevermore. Amen. A closing hymn, I Will Sing of My Redeemer, 524. May you go with God's peace and serve the Lord joyfully this week.